Pearl and I was up at Crater Lake. Now that's kind of skewed, as probably not as tall as it's normally, but we took a beautiful picture one day here a while back, just before the fires of Crater Lake. Thought I would throw that in. What a happy Sabbath it is that we can be here and the Lord will be with us today. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, I ask that you get me out of the way. Let this be your message, Lord. A message of hope, but a message of understanding that we are living now in the last days. Lord, prepare our hearts. I ask for a legion of angels to surround us. Devil doesn't want this. I pray that you will go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Supposed to click the button. Let's see if it works. Wow. It does. So fast forward events. Does that sound familiar? We are at a time in a crossroad where we do have some very fast forward events, don't we? It's not, as you would say, normal times that we live in. In fact, when I was a little boy, we would study at Rogue River Academy. That's what we called it back at that time. We would study the Word. We would study Mrs. White's writings about the time of the end, things that's going to come about at the time. It's ingrained into us, the Seventh-day Adventists. We know about the things that's going to come about. Some of them are a little frightening. We wouldn't be human if we didn't have some emotion about all this. Sometimes even a little bit of cold water, ice water in our feet of seeing the things going on. But we don't have to fear. We do live a very strange year, don't we? But you can see that Jesus is in charge. He's in charge right now, today. In our political landscape, he's in charge over this pandemic. He's in charge of everything. And we can take that to the bank. But there is some things that's going on around us, especially at the time of the end where Revelation 13 is going to be coming about us very soon, and the things that's mentioned in that chapter. The majority of American adults say they feel it. The anxiety, the fear, the dread. And this is taken from USA Today just this week. They feel it before bed and when they wake at night, at the red lights, grocery store lines, desks, even around the dinner table. There's no longer a refuge. Grapple with how risky it is to hope. And there's many walking on this face of this earth today that don't have hope, don't they? But it's not in this congregation, is it? I pray each one of us have that hope of salvation. That hope that these things that come about us don't touch at our doorstep. 2020 is the worst year in memory. Terrors, traumas, pandemics, natural disasters. Didn't Jesus say something about men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that's going to come about? That's in Luke, I'm pretty for sure. Luke 21. You know, that's something to be thinking about. Here's another thing to think about before I really get into the meat of this. Mrs. White, manuscript. It is too late in the day to feed with milk. Now, there's some of us that can't eat hard meat. But it's time. Like she says, we must learn very shortly how that we can endure the strong and straight truth. We need it now. We need the straight truth. It's no time anymore for fuzzy, warm messages. There is none more of that. But we need strong knowledge and wisdom from the Lord that we can have hope. A picture is worth 1,000 words. I'll tell you. My wife has COPD. She's not here today, but boy, she wanted to be. But that, when it comes back down to home, doesn't it? When your loved ones are at stake, this thing has its invisible enemy. Never look upon even our state or our conference and say, they're throwing it down my throat. I want you to be thinking about this. It has nothing to do with the law. It has something to do with respect and love for each other. If you really respect the person that you're standing in front of or beside or in the grocery store or anything, if you love them like we're supposed to love our neighbors, we do what we need to do, because it would be terrible to walk around knowing that maybe you had it and didn't know it till it was too late. And grandma died. But you never even knew that grandma, because it was the child that you gave it to that gave it to them, because you weren't symptomatic. Now, I don't believe it should be crammed down our throats. But because this is where the gist of this message is. I said about a crooked smile. I'll get to that later. I'm a backup one. We'll keep it on that. This came from reports that's been going on from Adventist Journal here a while back. I took some of the notes from there and I put it together. And it makes sense about where we're at in relationship to Revelation 13. In the early 2020s, the coronavirus pandemic took this world by storm. Started out in around February. Within months, multiplied millions of people were infected, and hundreds of thousands around this world have died. Nations shut borders, businesses closed. People were ordered to stay at home. As of yesterday evening, There is two places in the United States that are ordered to stay at home after 10 o'clock now. One is Denver, Colorado. After 10 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning, ordered. Think about that. Prosperous economies have been decimated, evaporated. Busy cities turned into nothing but ghost towns. If someone were planning an apocalyptic event to control the masses, it probably would look a lot like this virus. With no resistance, and I'm going to say that again, with no resistance, more than a third of the world's population was quickly locked down. The old saying about falling behind the little animals. We just voluntarily just bent over and said, give it to me. More than a third of the population was willing. Think about that for a little bit. Willing, totally willing to give up their rights. People gave their civil rights and privacies, even to attend church, and a little bit in buying and selling. Get to that in a moment. Many wonder if this is leading us to the prophesied end. Online searches for the end of the world, signs of the time, the last days climb sharply. Seventh-day Adventists are asking if this could be what Ellen White predicted when she wrote, great changes are soon to take place in our world. And the final moments will be rapid ones. They are rapid. How many people have you heard around it says, 2020, another thing? It's happening quick. How many hurricanes did we have? One off the record. Earthquakes. But that's only part of it. An article, my friends, in an influential Finance Times shed light on how emergencies come about. You might say emergency management. Such as the pandemic has transformed society, many short-term emergencies come about. Measures will become a fixture of life. You ever notice that most of the time, whenever our government does something, it takes forever to get anything done? Have you noticed how fast, when something has come about with this virus in some areas, short-term emergencies start taking in play? They start just jumping at one thing to another. It's the nature of emergencies. They fast forward historical processes, my friends. Decisions that in normal times would take years for deliberation are passed in a matter of hours. Sometimes even immature and even dangerous technologies are pressed into service because the risk of doing nothing is bigger. The concept of fast-forwarding historical processes explain how the Bible prophecy is sometimes fulfilled. Transitioning from a freedom-loving society to a frightening day is predicted in Revelation 13, in which no one can buy or sell unless they worship the beast. Revelation 13, 1 through 8 talks about the blaspheming of God and trying to usurp his authority. My friends, this may happen in stages. It may not be all of a sudden. It may not be right where you're least expected. And we would call them short-term emergencies. An implementation of technologies. And I'll give you a prime example. September 11th. Yeah. September 11, 2001, when the towers fell. That was a fast-forwarding event. In its aftermath, unprecedented laws were enacted and technology enlisted to create a wall of surveillance. In the United States, 70 million surveillance cameras were issued around the United States. Big Brother is watching you. spy planes circling above, the loss of privacy after September 11th and other terrorist attacks was initially debated, but society ultimately settled into a new normal, and the fast-forwarding process paused for a season. And I read this. Pause for a season. You know, pauses in prophetic time can happen a lot. There'll be times where it just seems to kind of slow down. Look what happened right after September 11th. We were all hot and bothered, and we got all these technologies, and we did this and that, and we shut this and that down, and our airports and the whole bit, and everybody was watching each other. And then we kind of slid back, and everything became okay. A pause. A pause. Now, whether we are now in a pause or slow play or fast forward, this global pandemic remarkably demonstrates that two major prerequisites for the mark of the beast, the counterfeit seal of God in Sabbath worship, are currently, my friends, in place. It's ready to go. You remember here recently about global warming and how when we went through this pandemic, the earth actually took a breath and things slowed down a little bit when everybody was isolated. The news came out that the earth actually got a little bit better as far as its climate. Our folks over in Rome really like about climate change to the point where as things get worse, it's not going to be, we need a Sunday law. It's going to be, we need time for the earth to rest. It's going to come about in unexpected ways. Anybody know what that is? How about your phone? You ever seen similar things on your phone? That is telling you in nice, beautiful town of New York City that you're being watched everywhere. Everywhere you go, you're being watched. And at least they tell you. That's pretty nice. To understand how the coronavirus spreads, governments use data from smartphones. Yeah. You ever turn on your data or location? Yeah, Big Brother's watching you. It knows where you're at all the time. It monitors the movements of populations. Pandemics aside, the fact that someone is recording every move is prophetically relevant, my friends, because it may be used someday to determine whether a person obeys the laws of worship the beast. Big Brother is watching you. Big data and government united to track compliance of stay-at-home laws. At the beginning of the pandemic, more than 90% of the population in the United States was ordered not to go anywhere except for essential reasons. And disobedience could result in civil or criminal penalties. In fact, in Australia, Western Australia, if you were caught out, it was $32,000 fine. Pretty steep for wanting to go down and get a loaf of bread. Not following the orders. This pandemic demonstrates that authorities have the ability and will to legally prevent people from moving around. They will prevent you or try to from buying and selling. It's already happened with the pandemic about buying and selling. Well, let's see. You can't go to the store because you're supposed to do what? Stay at home. It's little by little, my friends. Or worshiping God in church. That came about too. Currently, technology is largely in place to enforce the laws predicted in Revelation 13. hear some changes about things in our society. Have you been hearing recently, it's kind of quiet right now, but did you know that the United States is really pushing cashless society? Completely cashless. There's some big reasons for that. To implement the mark of the beast, the government must also be able to control the buying and selling. Another way to control it. So what does the pandemic reveal about this? A recent Bloomberg tax article, Why Going Cashless Has Added Value to the Pandemic Age. It starts with the question, do we still need cash? There was an author by the name of Jesse Yoon. She's a writer for CNN. She works in the Asian Pacific region. She's called a digital producer. And she sees the pandemic as an opportunity for digital currency, pointing out that China's central bank removed contaminated money. Did you notice recently about the pandemic that it can stay on surfaces a lot longer than what they thought 6 months ago? Different. Contaminated money. This suggests this pandemic is a fast-forwarding catalyst, my friends. Fear and contagion could accelerate the general trend to more digital payments, according to the Bank of International Settlements. A cashless society is not a new proposition. In fact, our former U.S. President Ronald Reagan wrestling with how to stop the drug cartels a number of years ago. A financial newsletter at the time reported that someone in Reagan's cabinet suggested that he could stop the illegal trade by removing cash from society. In replying, another person joked, oh, what, like the mark of the beast? Right in his cabinet, jokingly. The room briefly fell silent, though. They didn't know what to say when it was said that. Then the president ignored the topic and moved on. Today, cashless transactions in the world, 80% of purchases are made electronically. How many right now, if you want to raise your hand, fine, have a $50 bill in their purse or wallet? He's the rich guy. It's in the drawer. So if I went back 30 years ago and I asked the same question, how many you think would have raised their hand then? We saw two, maybe three. Quite a few, huh? Cashless society is coming into your life and we just do it, without any problem of saying okay. See how things work slowly, how the devil works in our lives. Many African American countries use electronic currency. More than 75% of the adult Kenyans use a mobile wallet service. In India, the world's second largest population recently pushed to eliminate cash by withdrawing the most popular bills from circulation. Pretty soon you're going to be having to do it. I'm just as guilty. I can't tell you when I have had a dollar bill in my wallet. It's all been just debit card, debit. We get used to these things. Slowly moving fast forward events. While it's possible to be cashless, why would officials desire this, though? Why would they desire this? There's many practical reasons for governments getting rid of cash. Would cut minting costs, distribution expenses, make it easy to crack down on tax evasion, drug trafficking. Sure, there's a lot of reasons why. Stores could save cash handling the cost, reduce theft, possibly even earn more. While eliminating cash may be a practical solution for business concerns, it will easily lead to oppression, my friends. Oppression. Predicted in Revelation 13. The Bloomberg tax even warns about the dangers. Critics say that in a digital-only economy, governments and banks could take control of your financial life, leaving you penniless with, my friends, a flick of a switch. Jesse's richness, when he raised his hand with the 50, that's all he have left. Just flick a switch. Jesse don't get no more. The digital economy that is rapidly expanding around the world is bringing us much closer to the time when buying and selling can be easily controlled. My friends, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters of like today that we're living in, what does it say? I will be with you. Do we need to worry about that cashless society? I'm bringing it up because it leads you to understand, or you need to understand, it's all around us. We're not going to where we're looking for the time of the end. We're living the time of the end. We're in the middle of it. That's where Satan wants you to be on the fence. Well, let me see. If I mark off this, and this has been doing that, I can just stay on the fence a little longer. That's going to kill you. Flat out. You're dead. Because the wages of sin is death, and that's what's going to happen if we don't give our hearts to Jesus. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We don't have to be afraid, but the power and the love and of a sound mind. We can see, we can understand if we open our eyes and see what's going on around us. Pretty soon we're going to be able to look up. But is this the end, my friends? While this pandemic is likely a fast-forwarding event, which it is, it doesn't foretell the imminent end. Remember, the third element of the Mark of the Beast prophecy concerned forced worship. And my friends, I'm going to stand here right now and tell you, this pandemic is not part of the current. The pandemic is not part of that current situation with the Mark of the Beast. It is predicted because when Jesus was up on the mount and the disciples were talking to him in Matthew 24 and they asked what was going to happen at the time of the end, Jesus predicted exactly where we're at. He said there would be pestilences, and pestilences is pandemics. It's the same thing. Terrible viruses. We may have another one on the heels of this. They're even talking about in Denmark, what was it, killing, they're having to put away 1 million minks because the coronavirus is jumping over to them. And I've had it, if it comes to Dudley, my dachshund. Somebody's in bro. Who didn't wear their mask? What Doberman pincher? It's not part of this, so don't be afraid. He's going to save us. We're guaranteed. We're going to look up and rejoice soon. What this pandemic does tell us is that the technology is here to control large populations, my friends. How long it takes to get to the place where people willing to accept forced worship is another thing. Having the technology enforce the mark, much different from governments being ready to enact religious legislation, though. My guess is that other fast-forwarding events will serve as a catalyst to some future date. Remember, there is periods of time where it slows down. Are we in fast forward? Are we in pause? Are we in slow play? Search your hearts. He'll tell you. And as we've seen with the coronavirus, things can move exceedingly fast, can it? That's why it's important to trust God at all times. I'd like to go to selected messages. Pulled this up from book two. You can look this up. Chapter 47. Preparing for the final crisis. With his eye upon the church, she writes, the Lord has again and again allowed matters to come to a crisis that in their extremity, his people should look alone for his help. Their prayers, their faith, together with their steadfast purpose to be true, have called for the interference of God. And then he has fulfilled his promise. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Isaiah 58, 9. We need a living hope, don't we? A living hope. Here's something the other day that Iris said. She sent me a text. And I thought it was very beautiful when she says, as painful as all that is happening in our land is, we must remember that our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we need to be. Our citizenship is in heaven, not on this earth. We don't have anything to fear of this stuff that's going on. It's the way it's going to be. Our election turnout is the way God had it planned because he is in charge. And we say, but why this or why that? We'll know. We'll see it. But now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to have your hearts ready to meet him at any moment. Because if you die in the next 45 seconds, you met him in 45 seconds from now, not down the road. First angel of Revelation 14 calls us to worship him who made heaven and earth. Worship in our Creator, God brings peace. As we're reminded that the Lord who made all things, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. We hear his reassuring promise, I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands, Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. You know, my friends, God knows exactly who we are, where we are, and what we are experiencing. He sees the heartache that we're going through. We can't help from seeing it. So about the crooked smile. There's one side of our lips should be smiling very big because we know our Jesus is going to return. But we also have one side turned down because we yet see our friends and our families still rejecting the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that is sad. But you know what? It takes us. We right here need to be able to emulate Jesus Christ, his character, what he stands for, and that is service and love. Goes beyond understanding. His love for us is so strong that his hands are scarred, my friends. His hands are scarred from gripping the nails on the cross. Therefore, even as the uncertain future may overshadow us, we can reach for his hands where our names are engraved in his hands. He's pleading, Father, Father. He's pleading for you today, my friends. I know not which way to turn, but I know my God is there. He is there for us every day.
And no, he will not let us go. He will safely see us through the storm. He promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. I look forward to that day. Don't you? I look forward to that day. And it, you know, it's not very far away. It really isn't. The Lord also may put some of us to sleep before he comes. That will happen. Some of us will not be able to even stand. Jesus knows that. He knows your heart. He knows how strong you really are inside. Some of us, especially men, we like to look like we've got control of everything. And we're strong. But we have our weak sides, don't we, Jess? God knows us better. He knows our strength and our weaknesses. And there will be some that may be laid to rest prior to Jesus coming because of just age, illnesses, maybe the pandemic. Last night, I got a message from our conference. It took me back a little bit. They are even saying now, the chances of this pandemic being in your congregation are very high. If it does come about, please have the respect for each other to not spread the rumors, not even talk about it. Let the controlling people that have better wisdom than us about this pandemic be able to do the proper tracing, the tracking. And just because somebody might be in your midst that has the disease doesn't mean you're going to get it. It takes time. It takes a certain amount of time, being around somebody for a certain period of time, over, I think they mentioned about 15 minutes over a period of time. But it still should be something that we need to be aware of. And that is, it may happen. And if it puts one of us to sleep because of this disease, that's how fast you're going to see Jesus. Amen. That's a wonderful hope. So we don't have anything to fear. Death, where is your sting? It's not going to be anymore. I pray that we all will be there. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, sometimes those are your servants that need to stand up at your throne of grace. Need to speak up. Lord, I pray that you were in this room today, and I know you were. I pray that each person in this congregation will eternalize the word in their hearts. Prepare their hearts, Lord. Seal us in our minds. I pray for the latter rain to fall. Seal us. Prepare us for these final last moments. And soon we'll be able to look up and see our Lord. Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.